You're listening to episode number 3 of the Money Shot Podcast. Today, I'm talking all about charitable donations. So this should be a philanthropic one.
You're listening to the Money Shot Podcast with your host, Damien Fogg, making personal finance and investing easy to understand, less intimidating, and even bordering on fun.
So today I'm going to talk about charitable donations and giving to other people, other organisations, animals, plants, all that good stuff. And kind of for a reason, but also just for the hell of it, because I want to. Now, there's two sides to this. There's kind of the boring, is it a tax-efficient way of giving type thing. And there's also, I guess, the logic behind it and the reason why. So it's going to be a bit more of a personal one from my side as to what I do give to and why. But if we focus more on the mechanics of it first. So if you are a limited company, you can donate to whatever charities you fancy, and you get to use that donation, whatever it is, whether it's monthly or annual as a lump sum, but you can make that a tax deduction from your company. So if you make 100 grand profit and you've donated £10,000 to charity, then you can knock 10 grand off your profit for the year and only pay corporation tax on 90,000. So that's kind of nice. And it works vaguely similarly if you're an individual or a sole trader. So there's something in the UK called gift aid, which most charities are set up for that now. And basically when you're going to donate money to them, you say, look, I'm going to give you £100, and you tick a little box to say, yep, I'm happy for it to be gift aid. And that allows the charity to then go and claim an extra £25 in that case, so 25%, on top of what you donate. It doesn't cost you anything, but that's effectively the government's way of saying, well, okay, we know we taxed this guy on the £100 he has, therefore we'll give you the tax-free element of it. Now, if you're a higher rate taxpayer, obviously you've probably paid more than 25%, so you can still go and claim the difference, from the government through your self-assessments. Now, okay, that might take a while. I think there is a way to do it sooner if you've got like a reason for it, but I'm not an accountant and I don't do tax returns, so don't ask me. But the important part to note is when you donate money to a charity, then they are going to be able to get the benefit of your pre-tax salary or whatever. So that's kind of nice. The other thing that quite a lot of people look at is including a charity in their will. So when you pop your clogs, you can set aside a certain amount to certain charities. I'm not a will writer, I don't really give a shit, so feel free to go and look into that, but it might be something even if, so someone like me, I have no dependents, so if I die from a financial point of view, it doesn't really impact on anyone. So I'm quite happy dying without a will. Probably a bad thing, but whatever, it's the truth. If you've got family, then you should almost definitely have a will put in place because it just makes it a lot smoother and easier if you do kick the bucket. But for someone like me who doesn't have a will, it's probably not a bad thing to set one up, just if nothing else, so I can say, well, I want all my money or some of my money to go to these specific causes that I am passionate about or whatever. So that's something to think about. Now, the other thing is, what actual charities do you want to give to? Now, it's obviously a very personal decision, and people will have specific charities that mean something to them. Maybe it's something that's affected you personally, or family members, or whatever. So there is no, I don't think there is a right or wrong answer to that. Everybody has a thing that they're passionate about and want to help out. For me, I am, despite being a bit of a prick, a relatively nice human, and so I do have a lot of sympathy for all of the charities out there. And if you see anything on TV or like an internet or website, the stories that they have are pretty compelling. You're like, oh shit, I want to give them some money, I want to help out that cause. The reality is though, you can't help everybody all of the time because you'd go broke and you wouldn't be able to feed yourself. So I do kind of come from the position of charity starts at home, so you've really got to make sure you're okay in the first place to then start thinking about donating to charity and helping other people out. What you don't want to do is cripple yourself or not be able to look after yourself and then become a burden and effectively become a charity case yourself just because you tried to give away too much of it. Sounds a little bit heartless and callous, but I think it's just pragmatic, really. So for me, what I've tended to do over the years is sort of have a charitable budget, and I'll save it up. I'm probably twice a year, I'll do a lump sum donation, and I kind of, at that point, have a look around and think who I want to give money to. My general thing is mostly animals and environmental stuff. That's just a thing for me. More recently, I have started donating, from a company perspective, a set figure each month, and it does kind of vary, but it's usually around the £1,000 to £1,500 a month, and I'm a little bit obsessed with trees, so mostly I donate to tree-type charities, and sometimes it does change which ones I go for, but generally speaking, it's anything to do with planting more trees. The logic there I've got is, if I donate to something like, I don't know, malaria or cancer or AIDS or anything like that, it's all very well if we cure all those things. If we don't have enough trees, then we don't have enough oxygen, so it's then kind of academic. Now, that's just my logic. It makes sense to me. And fuck it, I like it. Nobody's going to make me feel bad about it because trees are cool. But the point is, no one should ever make you feel bad about what you're donating to. There are some people out there who are dicks about it, and yeah, okay, I get you're passionate about the charities that you're into, but just because you're passionate about it and it means something to you doesn't mean everybody else should as well. So I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was saying she was getting guilted because she was donating to the whole Australian bushfire thing, and they were giving a shit, saying, well, okay, but you should be donating to the homeless in the UK first. Well, why? It's very sad what's going on with the homeless in the UK, but they're not getting set on fire, so relatively speaking, I know which one I'd rather be. But the point is, and I think the critical point is, there is nobody, well, I suppose you could argue a case, but there is no charity that's worth more than another one. They're all very worthy when you look into them. It's just whatever ticks the box for you. So if you are passionate about a charity, maybe if you work for one, whatever it might be, just don't be a dick about it. That's my top tip anyway. Now, the other thing I sort of consider when I'm looking at charities is when I'm going to donate to someone, I try and look into the actual background of the charity itself, because there are a couple of charities out there that are a bit shit. So you can usually, with a bit of digging, you can usually find out what percentage of the money that is donated to them do they actually spend on whatever that charity's main focus is. So to give you an example, I've just had a quick Google of Cancer Research UK, and so they reckon in, I don't even know what year it is, 2018, 2019, they raised a total of £672 million, and of that, they've committed £587 million towards beating cancer. And so they then break it down and say, we also spent just shy of £100 million on fundraising. They spent another just shy of £100 million on supporting their shops and network and running events and stuff like that. So you can actually see, of all of the money that they've raised, how much of it actually goes towards being useful. Now, some of them are much better than others. So some of them, although charities can't really make a profit, they can technically, but they're supposed to then use that on whatever it is they're raising money for. It doesn't mean you're not getting ripped off by some dickhead. So you want to look at things like who the directors are, who the non-executive directors are, what the salaries are of the sort of the people in charge of it. Because if you're running a charity and you demand to be on like $2 million a year, then is that a bit of a douchey thing to be doing? Not saying it's right or wrong. If you're an international world-class charity, maybe you need to pay that much money to get someone who's really good at it. But for me, I like to just know that when I'm giving money to something, the vast majority of that money is going to go towards helping whatever the fuck it is I'm trying to help. So yeah, quick Google, you can usually find out. And with most things, like trees, for example, if you Google tree charities or something like that, there'll probably be, I don't know, 20 to choose from. And so being able to go through, not to the nth degree with it, you can download their reports and accounts and all sorts if you really wanted to, but just having a quick Google search to try and find out who's the most efficient with the money that they raise probably isn't a bad thing to do. Now, the other thing that, and this is, I guess, probably quite specific to me, and I can't believe anyone else is going to do this, but the other thing I quite like to do is look at who's investing any of the money that they're given. Because it's all very well asking for money, getting money, going off and helping people with it. It would be even nicer if you thought, well, they're asking for money, getting money, investing some of that, so that produces more money. And then over time, they almost become self-fulfilling. No, they don't. They become self-funding. So they have a rental return if it's property. They have an investment return if it's funds and all that sort of stuff. So they're generating income themselves to be able to help whatever cause they're trying to fix. I believe that the Rotary Club was kind of, that's how that works. People join it, pay whatever it is they pay, and they use that money to invest in assets that give them a return, which they can then use to help people around the world. I think they do some shit with eye surgery and a whole bunch of other stuff. But I think that's how they work. I quite like that as a model for a charity. So it's another thing I look into just to see if they are being a bit more forward planning. Universities tend to be quite similar. So all of the Cambridge colleges, all of them, a lot of them, have an absolute shit ton of money because they've been donated, whether it's in people's wills when they die or people like alumni just giving them money each year, whatever it might be. People donate money to their old college. The colleges then have an absolute shit ton of money knocking about. And instead of just giving that money back out to, whether it's in bursaries or scholarships or whatever, generally speaking, they've invested that, and that money has then created more money in the future. And their investment time horizon, I mean, some of the Cambridge colleges are around for 400 or 500 years or something ridiculous. So they have a much longer term investment horizon. The universities in America, I think the bigger ones, the Yales and Harvards and all them, they've got something similar. So it's kind of a completely different investment time horizon than most people would have. But I quite like that if it's a cause that is going to be needed some sort of help, whether it is trees, for example, or environmental stuff, there's always going to be some shit that needed for that. So having somebody that's thinking for the next 100, 200 years just kind of ticks a box for me. Now, one of the other things that you could do as a business owner is whatever products or services you've got, there's nothing wrong with effectively coming up with your own scholarship type system and occasionally donating, whether it is a product or service of yours, to somebody that needs it or a worthy cause. So every so often I'll do something where it's a, I don't know, whatever the cost might be, £1,000, let's just say. But if there's someone I know would really benefit from whatever it is I'm doing, but they can't necessarily afford it right now, every so often I'll probably not say, well, here you go, have it for free, but I'm quite happy to say, well, do you want a 50%, 60%, 70%, 80% discount, whatever it might be? And that's a still form of charity. Sounds bad when you say it like that, but it's basically me trying to help someone else out who might not be able to afford it at the time. And it's a very specific, it's an individual to individual type thing. But so let's say you're, I don't know, a nutritionist or a PT, or you create websites, whatever it might be. If you know of a client who would love to work with you, but they can't afford your prices, then yeah, okay, you've got the people that say, oh, you should never discount things because it downplays your value and all that stuff. But if you do it once in a blue moon, people aren't going to expect it. People potentially never even know about it because you don't have to advertise what you're doing. And probably for the sake of the person you're giving it to, it's best not to advertise that. But there's nothing wrong, I don't think, with occasionally dropping your prices and just saying, well, look, I know you need help with this. So I usually charge £50 an hour for whatever it is. I'm happy to do it for £15 an hour for you if you want. I think it will make a difference for you. I think it'll be good. And then you can do the whole, if you could give me a testimony or something, that would be great. That would be a good payback for helping you out in this situation. So I think even if you're not necessarily the point where you want to start giving money out each month or in lump sums, there's still stuff we can do on a quite small basis that is going to help people out and help them along the way. Once, as I said before, I think it's important to look after yourself first, but once you are kind of in a position where you are vaguely comfortable and you're not worrying, you're not stressing out too much about can I afford my house, my food, all that sort of stuff. So once you're at the point of having a surplus of income each month, I think a bit like I think it's good that you should have a standardized way of investing, you should have a set plan so you know exactly where your money's going to go, what it's going to do, why you're doing it, etc. I think it's also quite nice to set up a specific fund for charity stuff. And as I say, I used to do it. I'd build up a fund, and probably every 6 months or so, I would then think, okay, I've got whatever it might be £100, might be £1,000, doesn't matter what the number is. I would have a set figure that I then thought, well, what can I do that would be nice for someone with this money? And if you, being selfish, if you want that warm, fuzzy feeling of someone saying, oh, thanks, that's great, oh, it makes such a big difference, then, yeah, the more money, the better. But also, the smaller the charity you pick and the more local, then chances are you're going to get that feedback. There's nothing wrong. I think, I can't remember who it was that said it. I think it was Bentham, or maybe it was some, I don't know, comic strip or some shit. I don't know. But it was basically a comic thing of two people riding along in a carriage. They see a turtle on its back, kicking its legs around, and they drive past it. And then a minute later, the guy, one of the guys in the back, stops it, runs back, flips the turtle over, and then comes back in. And his argument is, well, I've... So the other guy in the carriage basically says, well, that was nice of you. You had absolutely no payment for that. That was a genuinely nice thing to do for no reason. So that was a nice philanthropic act. The guy that actually did it was like, yeah, I'd like to take credit for that, but I would have felt bad for the rest of the day knowing that I could have helped but didn't, and that turtle was still stuck upside down. So I did it to make myself feel better for the rest of the day. So it wasn't 100% philanthropic. There was a little bit of selfishness in there as well. I am kind of on board with that. I think a lot of people, me included, and especially me, or at least I admit it, give to charity to make ourselves feel better. And that doesn't seem like that bad a thing, to be honest. There's certainly worse stuff to do anyway. So to get more of a hit from that, then you can try and help someone specifically and individually. It might be, I don't know, a local homeless person that you know kind of, I mean, I don't know how well you know local homeless people, but maybe it's someone you see fairly regularly. If you wait a little bit and build up a decent chunk of money, it might be the sort of thing that you can go along and say, well, look, mate, do you want a change of clothes or a new coat or a new sleeping bag or whatever it might be? Or just, I don't know, £400 worth of Waitrose vouchers. I don't fucking know. But whatever it might be, you can do it on an individual basis then. For a relatively small sum of money, it will have a potentially quite a big impact on the person or the group or the charity that you give that money to. And there's loads of charities everywhere, so there's always an option for a local charity, probably that does something that is close to your heart, whether it is environment, animals, people, whatever. So I think giving specifically and individually is quite a good way to get that warm, fuzzy feeling inside of you again. And there was something else I was going to talk about then. I'd made myself think of something and then I've instantly forgotten it. That's it. So one of the other things you can do if you haven't got the money at the moment is to donate your time. And whatever that looks like for whatever charity you've got in mind, there's pretty much all of them are looking for volunteers. So if you've got a skill that is useful, or if you've just got time and a vaguely capable human, then chances are you can provide some sort of help to whatever charity you want in a very hands-on way. So because I am slightly obsessed with traveling, I quite like the idea of doing one of these overseas volunteer things. It lets me travel, which is always nice, lets me go do something nice for other people, which is helpful for them, gives me warm, fuzzy feelings inside, but it usually helps the charities out quite a lot as well. So that seems like lots of wins there. So that might be something that you want to look at or consider. Now, the last thing, which is much more specific to me, is one of the reasons I work with the people who I work with, one of my aims and my ideal clients and the client avatar and all that shit, one of the things I want to do with this work that I do, because I don't really need to do it for money myself anymore, but is to help people that have a passion in mind already. So if you're working 9 to 5, or if you're working 9 to 9 because you work for yourself and you're hustling and grinding and all that boring stuff, but if you're busy working, then chances are you haven't got the time, energy, or money to go and help whatever it is you're most passionate about. What I want to be able to help people out with is taking some of that stress away, taking some of that time pressure off them, and allowing them through investing to either get more money so they can invest in, not invest in, they can donate to the charities that mean something to them, or free up some of their time because they've now got, I don't know, let's say their food budget covered by their investments. That's freed up some hours of the day from working that they can now donate some of their time to something else. It seems if I just quit helping everybody and donated my time and money, then yeah, it would be useful. But it's quite limited, it's quite finite in the grand scheme of things of what I could actually give. If, and this is me trying to scale things here, if I can help 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, free up a couple of hours a week to go help other people, or free up an extra £100, £200 a month to donate to other charities, that's much more scalable to have a much bigger impact on the world. Now, I'm not obviously going to try and direct where people give their money, but if you wanted to give it to trees, that'd be fucking awesome. But no, whatever it is that is important to you, whatever you're passionate about, and as I've said, charity starts at home. So maybe the thing that you're most passionate about is your kids, your family, whatever, and being able to help them become better humans and freeing up some of their time or freeing up their mental energy to be able to help other people, whatever it might be, that I still think is quite valuable. That is still going to be a multiplier and a scaling for me to be able to help more people. So whatever it is, just as long as you're passionate about something and you have something else that you want to do with your time, they're the sort of people I want to help. If it's just a case of, well, I've got money, I went into business because I want to get rich and retire early, yeah, okay, I can help you. Everything I talk about will be useful for those people. It's just not that inspiring for me, to be honest. So I don't really give a shit. It's not going to change the information I give you, but it's not going to get me all excited. Whereas I've got a friend who has a charity that's very close to her heart, and she wants to do an awful lot of stuff around that. She's even setting up her own charity for it. I've helped her invest in property that has potentially replaced her income. So she's now got the time, the mental capacity, and potentially some of the money to set up that charity, to work for free for a period of time, and to really give it a go and make a big difference in something she's massively passionate about. That is the perfect client for me. Someone who wants to make that big of a difference in the world and who can now do it because I've helped them with their investing. So yeah, that's another weird little way that I'm personally trying to help people out. But is it something that you could implement in your own company as well, in your own business? So just a thought. Not entirely sure why I've decided to do a charity one for this one. It was supposed to be on mindset for money, but I couldn't tie Laura down for a time and I wanted to release all of these at once, so fuck it, I've just changed the order of everything. So if I do mention episode 3 being about mindset in any of the other episodes, yeah, blame someone else, not me. Eventually I'll get around to doing it though, so don't worry. So those are my thoughts and musings on charity. I think it's good. I think it's something most of us should do, could do, but I think we don't need to be stressed or pressured into it by anybody else, and we should look after ourselves first. That's, I think, the first port of call for everyone. Once you're in a position to donate, then yeah, giving is a great thing to do. So it's my job to help you get there sooner. So yeah, sign up to anything of mine, and with a bit of luck, it'll help you get a little bit richer, a little bit more spare time. You can donate either your money or your time to something you care about. That's my goal. Hope this was fun. If not, go give something to charity and fuck off. Toodlepip.
So you just survived and hopefully enjoyed The Money Shot from Damien Fogg. If you just can't help yourself and you want even more, head over to theepinvestor.com/podcast for the show notes, links to whatever shit he just talked about in this episode, possibly some exclusive content about cool finance stuff, and even maybe a free pony.